It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, scientific research shows that high expectations can lead to increased performance. It's called the Pygmalion effect. We'll learn about that and some other cool stories from the world of science with Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine.
First, two trains derailed in Wisconsin over the weekend, and each accident led to leakages and the evacuation of the surrounding communities.
A train carrying ethanol derailed on Saturday in Alma and spilled ethanol into the Mississippi River. And then on Sunday, a train derailed in Watertown, leaking crude oil and causing the evacuation of 35 homes.
Crews are still cleaning up the spills and trying to figure out the causes behind the derailments.
For more on these stories and the issue of rail safety in general, we're joined by Marcus Stern, an investigative reporter who's covered the risks of transporting oil by rail. Marcus, thanks for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
Well, when you hear of a derailment like this, what kind of things do investigators look for to try to figure out why this happened?
Well, if there are injuries, the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, will send crews to take a look. I don't think they will in this case. And otherwise, the railroads will probably do the primary investigation. And they're going to be concerned about primarily it's a public relations issue for them. They really need to try and keep down the publicity as much as possible. You know, with these two derailments, I think there's good news. The good news is that neither one exploded. I mean, with the ethanol, there was a fatal ethanol train derailment in 2009 that put this risk on the map. And there was one in 2013 with oil trains that killed 47 people. So the fact that there was no explosion is good. What we don't know is we don't know if these tankers that are involved are the legacy tankers. Are called legacy tankers because they have a lot of flaws. They shouldn't be used for this kind of, for the transportation of flammable fuel. Or are they the newer tankers that the railroads have been creating to make these tankers safer to carry the oil in? So we don't know if it's the older tankers or the new tankers. We also don't know the volatility of the oil because in the last year, North Dakota has started conditioning the oil to make it less volatile, and we're still waiting to see if that's going to help. And the fact that there was an oil spill here but not an explosion was a good thing.
You mentioned that that fatal explosion that killed over 40 people, that was in Canada. You wrote, and a lot of other people hoped, that that would be some kind of wake-up call that would help us get a more secure oil-by-rail transit system in place. Have we seen a lot of movement in that direction?
Well, when you talk about this risk, there's three or four key elements to it. One is the tankers themselves, and there's been a lot of work done to try and make those tankers more robust, and they'll be phased over the next 6 years. But we really have to see how that works out. We have to see if these tankers continue to rupture the way they have been in their older models. And then there's the issue of volatility. We need to see if the volatility of conditioning the oil will make it less likely to explode. We have the question of rail infrastructure and operations. You know, one of the leading causes of derailments is just track failure. And that's on the railroads, particularly. They really are responsible for making sure the tracks are in good shape. And then the last thing is emergency response, but there's not really much emergency responders can do in a case like this other than evacuate a half mile in every direction from where the fire is or the spill is or the derailment.
Talking to investigative reporter Marcus Stern about the safety risks involved in transporting oil by rail after two derailments here in Wisconsin, one carrying ethanol, one carrying oil. That was this weekend. Marcus, let's start with that last point you raised first, the issue of emergency responders, first responders. There's been controversy about how much information they are getting from railroad companies about what and where and when these substances are being transported through communities.
There has been a real struggle to get the information from the railroads. The railroads don't mind giving it to the emergency responders, but they don't want the emergency responders to be making the information public. And I think part of that, again, comes back to the PR issues for the railroads. They really don't like to publicize the fact that they're moving an explosive product in rail cars, questionable rail cars, through communities. And they really don't want to make it clear how much is moving how often. So there has been a real struggle that hasn't been completely resolved yet. Hopefully the emergency responders will know, but it remains to be seen whether the public will know.
And you mentioned the volatility issue a couple times. There's oil, it sounds like, and then there's oil. What is it about that North Dakota oil that makes it potentially a more hazardous in the case of a derailment?
Yeah. It used to be when we all thought of oil, we thought of that black gooey stuff that we saw in the Beverly Hillbillies, program. And it's not, it was from Texas. In the last 7 or 8 years, they've been pulling a great deal of oil from deep beneath this ground in North Dakota. It's a light oil, it's a shale oil, and it's much more like gasoline. It's more volatile when it comes out of the ground. It has what are called natural gas liquids, a lot of propane, ethane, butane, which need to be at least partially stripped out to make it safe to transport. But really, neither the federal governments or the railroads or the oil industry really know really what the proper chemical composition is to make it safe. They don't know how much of these natural gas liquids need to be stripped out.
Economic incentive, Mark, because it sounds like, to not strip out so much of it. If you can ship it as close to intact as possible, you can get money from extracting that at the end, maybe down on the Gulf Coast. So companies have an incentive to not remove those more volatile compounds.
That's absolutely right. If they separate them out in North Dakota at the wellhead, the natural gas, the propane and the ethane and the butane just get either vented or flared, and their value is lost, and they create pollution. If they put them into the rail car, it becomes ever more dangerous. But if they can get those natural gas liquids to the refineries along the Gulf Coast, the East Coast, or the West Coast, those refineries can then process the oil, take those natural gas liquids, and sell them even overseas, which is something they can't do with the oil itself.
Now, Senator Tammy Baldwin from Wisconsin has been pushing for rail safety reforms, a plan I believe passed the Senate but wasn't taken up in the House of Representatives. What kind of changes are people looking for at the federal level related to the issues we've been talking about?
Well, I think they're looking for the federal government to do something on the volatility issue. The federal government itself spent almost 2 years looking at this issue, and it had issued several safety alerts, emergency orders that related to volatility. But after 2 years of cogitating, it issued a final rule over the summer, and the word volatility didn't even appear in it. So they basically punted on that question of volatility. Now, the state of North Dakota itself has set a sort of a threshold that it wants the oil to be conditioned to a certain point. But oil with that level of volatility has exploded, has burned. So we don't know that that's really low enough. So I think people want to see the federal government actually set a standard for volatility. I think that a lot of folks are really concerned about the fact that the sturdier rail cars are going to take so long to be phased in. It's going to be several years. And I think that there's been a real focus on bridge safety. And there in Milwaukee, you have in Milwaukee, there's a bridge that is very rusted and had signs of real deterioration. It was corroded to the point where some of the steel in the beams was missing. And local officials and Senator Baldwin tried to get the railroad there to prove that the bridge was safe and that it had indeed been inspected by the railroad. And the railroad steadfastly refused to allow anybody to see the inspection reports or records. So I think that was a source of great frustration. So I think that one of the things that people are pushing for right now is an inventory of rail bridges and some kind of database that allows folks to look and see what kind of maintenance and repairs have been done on that bridge.
Marcus, thanks a lot for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure.
That was investigative reporter Marcus Stern talking about the risks of shipping oil by rail in the wake of two train derailments in Wisconsin this last weekend.